The sermon is from Hebrews chapter 12. That's where we're going to go today to get your beautiful message that you're about to receive. Are you ready? That's right. Now, I like the book of Hebrews. As a coffee lover, this is proof to me that God loves coffee because Hebrews. There's a lot more where that came from. Hang on to your seats, everybody. Hebrews. Yes. and today we're going to go through the first three verses. In a minute, I'm going to read them and go through them each. There's a message in each one of these powerful verses that Paul writes about, that Paul writes out of this beautiful book, not about coffee, called Hebrews. And my inspiration for this sermon, you probably already know from the picture you just saw, was from our cat, Lincoln. Is he not the cutest thing you've ever seen? I think Tasha's putting something up on Facebook, but in case you can't see it, imagine the cutest cat you've ever laid your eyes on, and then make it cuter. That's what I'm showing right now, is a picture of our cat, Lincoln. As some of you know, we are a cat family. Crazy cat ladies, if you will. That's fine. I embrace it. We have four black cats. And Lincoln likes to go outside. He likes to go outside. You can see his little green little harness there. Oh, in case you can't see because it's too far back. Look at that. Look, I zoomed in on his cute face. Ah, I know, right? He's so cute. It's not. No, it's a cat harness. They do make those. Yes. And Lincoln, a few months ago, acted like he wanted to go outside, and I would go outside and sit in a chair, and he would sit on my lap, and I'm like, this is okay. Let's get him outside. Let's get him a little collar. Let's make it safe with the leash and everything. I had to talk Tosh into it, but she finally, I nagged her enough. I mean, I convinced her. And the reason is Lincoln is very active. He is active. He is a little skinny guy. Wait. Oh, yeah, here's more pictures. He's a little skinny guy, and he's really active, but unfortunately, he's losing his vision. So the toys that he used to see and play with, he doesn't do that anymore, so he has a lot of energy. He doesn't know what to do. Well, we take him outside, and he loses that energy. He explores everywhere. We just walk around in the backyard with our coffee in the morning with our cat and his long little leash there in the back. There might be, yeah, there's one more. There's one more picture of Lincoln. We also had to get him a little dog. This is actually a dog bed, but he loves it. He lays on that and just like watches what he can see, and he can see some things and whatnot. So Lincoln goes out on this leash, explores at least a couple times a day, morning and evening, sometimes in the afternoon. He drives me crazy and I go outside with him. He's got a nice little long leash and he explores. Isn't he cute? Thank you very much. That's all the sermon is. Goodbye. We'll pray out. I'm just kidding. There is a lesson here, I promise. Anytime anything happens, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a sermon in that. And there is. Many times I'll be outside in the morning. I'm like, I'm just going to run in real quick. I'm going to grab something, and I'm going to go right back outside. And by the time I get outside, I don't have a picture of actual, but it's kind of like this. Lincoln's leash looks like this. And in case you can't see it on Facebook, it's just a tangled mess of rope because he's like exploring around. And all of a sudden I look out there, I'm like, I was just gone for like 30 seconds and his leash is all, he's got it around a tree, a chair, his bed, like anything. Because he's a cat. He doesn't understand the whole leash thing very well. So we need to be with him at all times. So I'm like, oh, Lincoln, you're entangled. You're entangled. Thus the spiritual lesson. Out of Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, entangled, okay? So I want to read these verses now that I talked about my cat long enough. I could talk about him a little bit more, but I won't. Okay, we need to get to business. Okay, so Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, I just want to read these scriptures, and we're, like I said before, we're going to take it verse by verse here in just a minute. So verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 1. Most people go to the end. In fact, when I was Googling Hebrews 12:1 image on Google, please get me a picture of entanglement. I can't get it because most of the time it talks about the run. I got a lot of pictures of runners going towards the end, right? Run with perseverance. I've heard that sermon before. It's great. I love that. But we're going to back up and talk a little bit about the sin that entangles us. He starts out by saying, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I want you to know he's talking about what he had just talked about in chapter 11. He's talking about the history and all the faithful people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all those people. He's talking and he's referencing them as the witnesses for him to look up to with their faith that they had in God. Then he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Does sin ever easily entangle you guys like Lincoln as he gets wrapped up around the tree in 2 seconds? Yes, thank you. Getting head shakes and an audible yes. Sin entangles us, and Paul writes that it easily entangles us. Yeah, he's not wrong. Sin is anything that's going to separate you from God. Sin is any decision that hurts that relationship between you and God. It's a choice. It's a thought. It's an action. And we just got done talking over the last 6 to 8 weeks about how the devil is going to always play with us and try to get us off the track. And he's trying to do this to us. He's trying to entangle us in sin. And sometimes we don't even know it because it's so easily done. And we're like naive to the situation. We're like, oh my gosh, look at me. I am in one heck of a mess right now. So the devil is a sneaky liar who's going to always tempt us in an attempt to destroy our relationship with God. He's not looking to hurt us. He's not looking to just injure us. He's looking to destroy our relationship with God. And he does it with temptations and sin. Oh, it's fine. And we can easily sometimes get tripped up. We can easily think we're going through life, skipping through, just like Lincoln in the backyard. Before you know it, he's all over everything. He's like, what is happening? I'm stuck. I'm entangled. Sometimes we're naive to what's going on around us and our own sinful nature. And it's easy to get tripped up. I've done that before, and I'm like, wow, I did not see that coming. Okay, now I've got to really focus in and figure out how to get untangled right now because I'm entangled in my sin. We have to have a true self-assessment of ourselves and the sin that comes into our life and the temptations that we fall prey to so that that doesn't happen. Because when the entanglement happens, that relationship with God is farther away or sometimes disconnected altogether, and we've got to repair it back. And it's all because of what we do, not by what God does. Because God already took care of it. But it's by our actions, our thoughts, things that we fall prey to when the devil comes our way. We need to be true to ourselves. We need to really self-assess. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't sin. I don't think I sin today. I'm good. Let's think about every little thought, action, anything that came into your life. Was there anything that God would have been like, no, I don't think so. That's probably not the right thing to do. It's probably not the right thing to say. Are we acting in love at all times? It's hard to do, guys. It's really hard to do. But we need to self-assess and understand where we fall short so we can be on guard. Once we properly assess and we're like, oh, man, I'm entangled. The assessment is I'm a hot mess right now and I need help. There's two things that we need to do, okay? We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to say, I'm so sorry, God. It is okay to say those words to him out loud sometimes. God, I am so sorry I did that to you, to another person that you love, to this relationship, to whatever it is. Verbally say, I'm sorry. That's the forgiveness part. And then repentance comes afterwards. And what repentance means, that big theological word, is that we turn away from the sin. And we turn towards God. We do a 180 whoop, that way. That's all that repentance means. We ask for forgiveness, and we turn away from sin, and we look towards Jesus, which is a perfect intro into the next verse. Verse 2, to remind you, Paul writes to let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The first part is awesome, right? That's awesome. When we do that 180 from sin and we become untangled, we look towards Jesus. We fix ourselves on Jesus. Don't worry about anything else that's going on around you. Just like when we go outside or we see Lincoln all tied up and his little face is like, help me. He's got his eyes fixed on us like, I know they're coming to help me. They're going to rescue me. They're going to take care of me. That's exactly what we're doing with Jesus. Rescue us, help us. We have to be fixed upon him. He's the way that we're not going to fall into temptation and continue to sin. When we got your eyes fixed here, you're not going to worry about everything else that's going on, and the devil has no game. He goes running, actually. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, is what Paul writes. The author and perfecter of our faith. I'm like, okay, the author I get. What's perfecter mean? The author, obviously, he put it into action. He wrote it down. He made it happen. The perfecter is the completer of God's mission. That's what that means. He's the completer of God's mission to restore our relationship with God. That's why we fix our eyes on Jesus, because he's the answer to fixing our relationship with God. That what happens? Sin gets in the middle of it sometimes. If you remember, sin is anything that God doesn't like and that we do any thought or action to hurt that relationship. So Jesus is there to fix our eyes on him so that our relationship is restored with God. Awesome, right? Super awesome. We can't do this sin thing and beating sin and defeating sin on our own, right? You guys understand that. Jesus already did it. So you fix your eyes on him. You take his hand, whatever you got to do. He's the way. He's the way. And then the end of the, well, kind of the middle-ish of this verse, Paul writes that the joy set before him. And I'm thinking to myself, when I read the first couple times, I'm like, wait a minute, the joy? Like, joy, the cross, that joy? No, that wasn't joy. But the joy that was set before him was restoring our relationship with God. That's the joy. Us being in relationship with God, we are his joy. Isn't that awesome? You are God's joy. He loves you, and you are so much his joy that he endured the cross to take away our sins, to give us forgiveness, forgive us our repentance, and help us to get into that relationship with God again. He bridged that gap for us. I thought that was pretty awesome that I'm God's joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The encouraging end to this message is in verse 3 then. So we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. He completed what needed to happen to restore our relationship with God. And then the last part of this is verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So encouraging. What Paul's saying is, hey, remember what Jesus did for you. Remember what he did on the cross. Remember how he got us salvation. He endured all of that from sinful men all around him. It was a dark, dark day, right? Well, Friday was a dark, dark day. And Sunday, he took care and he had victory over everything. But that sin on that Friday, oh man, Good Friday is just so heavy sometimes, right? It's from the sin that was on that day that Jesus took all of it. And then we should always remember that he did that for us so that we don't get discouraged, so that we can stay energized, if you will. So we don't get tired, we don't get disappointed, we don't get weary. We just keep going. We keep putting one foot in front of the other because we know what Jesus did for us. We know if we fix our eyes on him, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be fine. You know, when I was preparing this, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of stuff about sin and falling short of God. And ugh, that's just yuck. Not a real fun thing to talk about. But the fun thing to talk about is how we overcome it through Jesus, how he took care of it for us. We really have to realize who we are to realize, oh, we need Jesus to fix this because he's got the answers. If you want to prevent yourself from being entangled in sin and tripping up and things are going to happen, don't beat yourself up all the time. Don't say, man, I'm just horrible. I'm just a horrible person and I can't figure this out. I'm just a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Yeah, I'm a sinner who needs Jesus and who tries as much as she can to fix her eyes on the Savior who took care of it. Instead of, oh, I'm a sinner. Yep, I'm a sinner who needs Jesus. That's the end of that sentence that needs to be there. If you find yourself entangled right now in a mess that you're not understanding why you're doing what you're doing, or you just keep tripping up in sin and you just keep hurting that relationship that you have with God, I hope today that you just ask for forgiveness, turn away from what's ailing you, turn away from what's hurting your relationship. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who perfected our faith and completed his mission to fix our relationship with God. And then don't give up. Be encouraged as we remember what he did for us. Just keep plugging along. We have a Savior who forgives us when we are entangled. But we can be untangled. And what I need now is a picture of a rope that's straight. There are a bunch of ropes that are just all nice and straight, not entangled, but untangled. Jesus can untangle your mess, whatever your mess is. We have sin in our life, but we have a Savior who's greater than that sin, who will take care of everything for us. He'll come to our rescue, just like little Lincoln when he gets up in his mess. And he'll do it every time. Jesus will do it every time. So will Lincoln probably, but Jesus will do it every single time. Whatever we're entangled, it doesn't matter. Just go to him every single time. He's the only answer. There's nothing else you can do. That is the answer. Fix your eyes on Jesus and overcome sin. Amen.